And my name is Kitty Fitton, and I am here with Ordinary Life on Coast Access Radio. And it's been a while since I've been here, so let's call this Series 2, shall we? Because it's another year. So it's been a while, and that's mostly because, well, we've had stuff like Christmas and New Year. And here in New Zealand, we are gearing up for the lovely autumn. I mean, the Northern Hemisphere, you have nice things like Christmas to cheer up winter. Here in New Zealand, we have, well, we have winter. Never mind. So I'm going to talk to the lovely Catherine about some of the things that I've experienced. So I'm going to continue talking about my experiences with my ordinary life, with my family and friends, coping with early onset Parkinson's. It's just the most exciting thing. And I've been thinking a lot recently about how I've changed my life recently. I've had to change my job. And do something different there, because sitting down all day was no good for me. And I've been thinking a lot about how I cope personally, because I've been living with this for coming up 8 years now. And somebody said to me, I was at an event and I had to sit still for a long time. And somebody said to me afterwards, they came up and went, "Oh, Kitty, I noticed you were moving around quite a lot. What's wrong with your back?" And I went, I slept awkwardly last night, because I didn't know this person very well, and I didn't immediately want to get into that whole Parkinson's conversation. And I was a bit surprised at myself, because I'm usually quite open about it, and I'm usually quite, "Oh, hey, this is what's wrong with me." And then you go through that whole, "I have Parkinson's," deathly silence. This is the bit where you don't know what to say, and I tell you that it's not contagious, so it's perfectly fine. But I kind of didn't want to go through all that, because it just felt a bit weird. And then I got thinking, which I thought might be useful for today, about some of the side effects of Parkinson's. Why is it that I felt a little bit strange? Why did I not want to have that conversation? And I was looking at some of the side effects that do happen with Parkinson's. And some of them are, I don't know, feelings of futility sometimes about your situation, about what's going to happen, looking at the future. Other things can affect you, like clearly sometimes you have a lack of mobility or a bit too much mobility. The weather can affect it bizarrely, whether it's cold, whether it's hot, that feels very strange. And a very big one is when I went to the hospital last, I was encouraged to talk about depression. Because, believe it or not, depression is a side effect of Parkinson's. Now, I would have thought, personally, being a little glib, that this was blatantly obvious. Because, you know, it's not really the most cheery thing in the world. However, it's officially a side effect, and they were very keen to give me antidepressants, which I was not very keen on. The reason for this is, while I know that I will have this for the rest of my life, although, you know, hope springs eternal for a cure and all that, I don't want to take tablets, because I know I'm going to be taking these tablets forever.
Can I jump in, Kitty?
Yes.
Hello, it's Catherine here, everyone. So can we talk a little bit more about that depression?
Yep.
Are they saying you have depression because of the Parkinson's, or because you have Parkinson's?
It gets a bit science-y, but essentially, and I, as I've said before, I'm not a doctor or a medical professional, but essentially, because of what's happening in your brain, not only are you losing the dopamine cells, but you also lose some other stuff. That's like, is that technical enough?
Yeah. I don't know if I can cope with that. Yeah.
Yeah. So you lose some other stuff.
Yeah.
And that causes depression. So it actually, you are actually more susceptible to depression. But then the there's the sensible part of me, the Northern Yorkshire lass inside of me going, "Well, of course you're going to be depressed. You've got a chronic illness that's never going to go away." And that's a bit weird. And I try and cope with it personally by being positive. it's that word you see everywhere when you talk about, like, you know, depression and sadness. And if you look up people who have Parkinson's and celebrities, one of the first things that you often see is they're coping by being positive. And, you know, so-and-so is dealing with positivity. And Michael J. Fox has some amazing quotes, and a lot of them are about being positive, looking on the bright side, and all that kind of good stuff. And as I went down that track, which personally helped me quite a lot, so I, you know, on my website and my blog and that, and I've lots of things about, like, happiness is a decision, and don't worry about things that may happen because, you know, they may not. And there's other things like, I don't say think positive, but I do put things like, I don't know, it helps you think of a different alternative viewpoint. No amount of positive thinking is going to help somebody that can't walk and maybe in a wheelchair climb a flight of stairs. And that's fair enough. Mm. But it might help them to think, oh, is there another way upstairs? Do I need to go upstairs at all? Maybe somewhere else is better. Maybe where I am is perfectly great. And you quite often find yourself having to think about, maybe I can't do this, but I can still do something else instead. For example, I've been on South Island recently, which was a beautiful, took my children to university. That was fantastic. Took the opportunity to go see some of the South Island in New Zealand. And we went to go see Mount Aspiring, which is just in Wanaka. And I drove down a gravel road rather fast, which was in itself quite fun and quite exhilarating. And when we got to the end of the road, you could see Mount Aspiring in the distance and you could see the glacier on top, and it was absolutely glorious. And that's where the public track started to go hiking up to see the mountain. But I can't do that anymore. And my partner can't do that anymore. And maybe I could, but sometimes walking long distances gets really hard for me now. My hip starts to give me issues. And then I feel like a 60-year-old just saying that, and I'm not even 50. And because I used to do a lot of hiking and a lot of walking, I find that quite sad. And I sat there and a part of me was looking at this beautiful glacier thinking, I really want to go there. And I'm watching all the people walk past with their packs and their hiking boots. But then I sat there and I thought, but I'm still here. And the sun is shining and the river is going past and it's beautiful. And I can still take some good from this instead of sitting here and weeping. Because part of you wants to go, oh my God, this is really sad and I'm really unhappy. And yeah, there is part of me that wants to scream and shout and get really cross. But it's not going to change anything. So for me, sitting there and thinking, well, at least I can do this, at least I can do that, makes me feel better. However, I have read a few things. Someone said on another social media platform, well, it's all very well saying be positive. However, this is really toxic and really bad for people. And that's how I discovered toxic positivity.
Okay, I'm going to need to know more about this.
Okay. What would you like to know?
Well, what does it mean? How can positivity be toxic?
Well, that is kind of the thing, right? And at first I was like, what on earth are you on about? And I do think that there is a point to it, which I understand. However, I think that possibly, oh, I'm going to get into an awful lot of trouble. I think it comes from there are some people out there who maybe they're not in the same situation as you. They're still in a bad situation. Maybe it's a short-term thing. Maybe it's something they're going to get over. And there's lots of examples of how to overcome toxic positivity. For example, if someone says, stay positive, it says, not everyone is able to do this, and it invalidates the feelings that somebody has.
Right.
And I think, well, yeah, okay. I never want to do that. If somebody is unhappy, that's their feeling. I do not want to invalidate that. You know, people have bad feelings sometimes for lots of reasons. But I'm trying to stay positive for a different reason. Mm. It's not that I'm trying to make you feel bad. Does that make sense? There's another one that says, where are we? It happens for a reason. Actually, I agree that I hate it happens for a reason.
Yeah, that's a pretty...
I'll shoot down anyone that says that.
Yeah, especially when they say it about something really horrible that happens. It's, you just want to sometimes ask them to be very quiet very quickly.
Yeah, it's like, shush. Go sit in that corner and keep quiet. Happiness is a choice. Now, I feel really, really weird about this one because I do think that happiness... For myself personally, it's something I have thought, and sometimes when I feel down, I just kind of think, no, I have to be a bit more cheerful, and I kind of force myself to kind of look on the bright side a bit and try and think of all the good things in my life instead of the bad things. But it does say negative emotions, or if something bad happens, is not someone's choice. And it's like, well, nobody is saying that it's you're choosing to feel unhappy. Nobody is saying that you have made a decision to feel bad. What we're saying is we are making a decision to try and be a little more positive, a little brighter, a little sunnier. And when you're faced with something like a chronic illness that goes on for the rest of your life, that's debilitating, I think it's quite important to do that.
Mm.
I mean, and again, this is just my personal opinion, but this has helped me quite a lot. So I think it's okay for me to say that, and I think it's okay for other people to say that. The other one I do agree with is the old, it could be worse.
Oh.
Yeah. And it says, just because things are relative, it does not mean they cannot cause pain and hurt. And I kind of agree with that one.
Yeah.
I've got a very good friend who's recently been diagnosed with something unpleasant, and apparently somebody said to her, well, you know, it could be worse, you know. There are people that have worse things.
How does that make you feel any better?
And it was like, what? Did somebody seriously say that to you? There are worse things than Parkinson's. There are worse things than lots of things, but... this helps me cope, and therefore I don't think it's that bad.
I think when people talk about the small stuff, like, you know, if I broke my nail and I, you know, it hurt, or I just spent however much money it is to do your nails.
Yeah.
And I broke one. If you said then, oh, you know, it could be worse things. We're like, yeah, agree. Well, you're talking about chronic health, but maybe... I think it's a bit trickier.
I wouldn't like to invalidate your feelings about your nail, though,
well,
Catherine.
If that was my problem, I'd be pretty happy that that's the only thing I had to worry about.
Would you?
Yeah. Can I ask you a question before? I know you want to...
No, please do.
You've got more notes and you've got somewhere else to go with regards to your information you want to deliver to the listeners. But I just want to take you back to when you spoke about depression.
Yeah.
And I completely get that this... If you have a life to live and you are choosing to be as positive about it as you can, which is... fantastic, because you can go down, I'm sure, a fairly...
Even I can go down that dark rabbit hole. Yeah.
Exactly. And we all have our days where we try and drag ourselves out of something, out of a funk. Got to be careful how you say that word. But it's not easy to do. So the depression that you're talking about, does that come and go? Or is that something that you feel is there all the time?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think, I mean, obviously for some people it's a very real, very present thing and a very serious thing. And for myself, I believe that there have been times when I have wavered very close to what would probably be considered officially medical depression.
Mm.
And... I have been lucky enough to maybe have the, and it's hard for people, and I respect that. For myself, I have forced myself to get up and get out there and try to help myself to get through it. And I would say it was just bloody mindedness that I kind of did make a decision that I did not want that diagnosis and I did not want that. But I also have to temper that with, at some point that's going to happen. And it's going to happen regardless of whether I want it or not. And I don't know when it will happen and I don't know how it will happen. But it's something I have to face up to. But that kind of flies in the face of the whole... You've got this really weird thing going on in your head in that you're trying to fight something that the back of your mind is going, it's futile, there's no point. What on earth are you bothering for? Even when you do, you know, my mobility's been a bit rubbish recently. But that, I tell myself, that's a consequence of spending the last 18 months in a job where I sat from 8:30 in the morning till 5 p.m. every day. And I was too tired to exercise and I was too tired to do everything that I should have done. So I've made a change and I've retrained myself and spent an awful lot of money doing something different. And I am loving what I'm doing now, which is great. And it gives me the freedom to exercise, come in here and talk to you, and do more things that I want to do. But, yeah, in the back of your head, there is this still small voice. It's kind of like your dark passenger constantly going, you can't do that, really. You know, I don't know why you're bothering to do that, because it's useless. Even being trying to do yoga again and stretching and looking like a beached whale in the morning, trying to reach my toes and stuff. And part of me is like, how many times have I done this? How many times have I started an exercise regime? Why am I bothering? Because I always give up. And then you just think, I can't think like that. I have to believe that every day is a new day and a new beginning and go out there and just do it. That was a really, really long answer.
It's a good answer. It's a good answer. And for those who don't know, that with regards to exercise, you have mentioned before on one of your episodes that if you don't exercise, your Parkinson gets worse.
Yeah.
So even though you are experiencing constant changes, you are slowing down some of your symptoms. Can we say like that? Because every day can be different for you. I know you've spoken to me about one day your medication may be slightly off or you need to take different medication. It's a daily check-in with yourself, isn't it? As to what you need to take and do. But if you don't do the exercise, it's you know that that's not going to help.
It's the only thing that you can control. Mm. You know, and you have no control over any of the rest of it. You know, you've been told that your brain cells are dying and they're not going to come back and you're on this, you know, downward slope to goodness knows what. And when I was diagnosed, the one thing they did say was that I could exercise and that would help. And I was like, great, I love exercise.
I think she's been slightly sarcastic.
It's my favourite thing. No, I'm no good at exercise.
But you did like hiking.
I did like hiking.
So that's a bit upsetting that you can't do that.
Yeah, I there's a mountain, hill, whatever, behind where we live. Mm. And it's called the Hemimartanger, for those of you that don't know. And I remember the first time I climbed it, before I knew I had Parkinson's, I climbed it with the Cubs and the Scouts. And they all got up there in like, they were there and back in about an hour and 15 minutes. I couldn't even get halfway because I was so puffed. And I thought, I'm going to beat this. And I went back the next week with a friend and I eventually got fit enough that I could get up to the top in under an hour, which for me was pretty good. I've not done it for about a year. My daughter said, oh, should we go climb the Hemi? And it took me an hour and a half to get to the top.
But you still got to the top.
Yeah. I stopped a lot. I actually cried halfway up. And it's kind of weird when you'll be walking and you find it really hard and you stop for a breather and then all these really fit old people will go past you and you can see them looking at you. And my daughter said, are you all right? And I said, I need a little badge, don't I? That go, I've got Parkinson's, leave me alone. But yeah, I did make it to the top. But it was really hard. And I want to do more walks, but I'm frightened of doing them. I'm scared.
Are you frightened because you can't make it, or are you frightened that you might fall?
I'm frightened that I can't make it. I'm frightened that it will take me like 8 hours to do a 4-hour walk. I do have some poles now, but I had the poles before, so that's okay.
Does it matter about the time? I'm just questioning you just because.
No, it's fine.
You know, I think if that was me, I might be the same. But for you to get out and do it, even if it did take you 8 hours, which it won't, and that's a very long time to be out anyway. But does it matter? Does it?
No, I suppose it doesn't. It just, you know, that still small voice, you sometimes hear it, and you sometimes hear it going, ha, look, you're rubbish because you can't do this. But then, like you say, you have to, there we go, be positive.
I was going to say, is this where the positivity comes?
And you have to think, at least I'm doing it. Mm. At least I'm getting out there. At least I'm giving it a shot.
Because I would suggest to you a lot of people don't go out and do that. If I went out and tried to do that walk, guaranteed I wouldn't be able to get to the top of the Himmies. But given some time, I probably would. But I don't have it in the back of my head that I have a degenerative disease. I'm just unfit and lazy.
Oh, I'm unfit and lazy as well. Don't you? Let's be brutally honest here. I know that I have to keep trying. Because I've got, you know, I've got my children I want to set an example to, and I've got myself that I want to keep going, and I don't want to just give up.
Yeah,
you know, I know some people who there is someone in my circle, and they've kind of given up. There's a stool in the shower. I've asked them, you know, I said, oh, I believe exercise is pretty good for what? For it's not Parkinson's, but, you know, I believe exercise is pretty good, gentle movement. No, don't want to do that. And I just think that's really sad. I think it's really, I don't know, it makes me kind of unhappy. And I don't want to be like that. I don't want to give up. Because I think if you give up, which is really easy to do, it's, oh, I shouldn't have talked about this, really. Sorry. Giving up is not an option.
Mm. You have a lot to live for as well, you know, and be well for. You've got...
Doesn't everyone?
Well, no. Kidding, no? They don't. You've got a blended family of how many kids?
Oh, 7 children.
Yeah. Yeah. And a partner.
Mm-hmm.
Some people may be a bit older and they have had experiences where they're not particularly hanging on to anything or nothing to look forward to. This also goes back to the fact you've got to have a bit of a plan or something to look forward to.
I was saying, but nobody wants to sit around feeling unhappy and miserable, do they? It's not in anyone's plan. What do you want to do when you grow up? I want to sit around and be lonely.
Mm.
You know, it's...
A lot of people are, though.
Yeah.
And they're not fighting. They haven't found a way to fight themselves out of that hole, which is really sad.
It is.
And it can be done. As you're displaying. So you're being very vulnerable with us today, but I think it's probably you need to be for other people.
Somebody, a friend of mine, spoke to me the other day, and she'd discovered that I had Parkinson's, and they discovered that I had a blog online. And she said, oh, I went and read your blog. And I said, oh, turns out I found out the principal of the college had read my blog as well. And I was like, right. And I said, what did you think? And they said, it's very depressing sometimes, isn't it? And I was like, well, yeah, because that's where I'm honest.
Mm.
I will sit and I will write about things. And I'm myself, and I tell my own truth. And my own truth is sometimes, yes, it is depressing and I do want to sit around and think, what is the point? However, the reason I do this and the reason I do the writing is because I do believe that, whether or not you believe it's toxic is up to you, but I have to hang on to things like happiness is a choice. I have to hang on to things like try and stay positive and look on the bright side. They may seem really trite, but for me, they are what keeps me going when things are tough, because things are going to be tough forever. And if I don't try and change that, it's not going to be a very pretty future. Oh, that sounded really sad.
Well, it sounded sad, but it also sounded really brave, because you're a very young Parkinson's person. I was going to say sufferer, but that's not a great word, is it?
What word? It's going to go, you are the Parkinson's patient. I'm like, oh, I'm not very patient. Like, you know, I don't know. I'm a sufferer. I have a disease. There's all these really positive words that you used to look at when you look up Parkinson's on the internet. You're just like, wow, that's really cheery.
She's been slightly sarcastic, everyone.
I've been very picked up on that. I'm very sorry. I think I read the thrilling statistic that 80% of people with Parkinson's get dementia after about 10 years, and I was like, oh, I'm at 8. That's it. That's something to look forward to.
8 years in.
But then what they don't say is, but most people get diagnosed at 60 or 70 years of age.
Yeah, so let's ignore that statistic.
So we just sweep that one aside.
Yeah, push that one away.
We'll deal with that another day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one only applies if you're 90 plus or something.
Absolutely. Mm. And then, you know, and on the whole, life is pretty good. You know, I get to talk to you and enjoy the beautiful weather, but it's throwing it down outside. But the rain is good for the garden.
It is.
And it's good for us and things. And the sun will come. And, yeah, we don't have Christmas around the corner, but we do have lots of nice warm fires to look forward to.
Yeah. Kitty, thank you so much for coming in today and, I guess, shining a light on Parkinson's from your perspective.
Yeah.
I think it's a good conversation to have for those who have Parkinson's and also who have people in their life that have Parkinson's. Can people get in touch with you at all if they have any questions?
I would be delighted if anyone wants to get in touch with me. They can obviously contact you here at Coast Access Radio, or I've got a blog at kittyfitton.com and you can contact me through that. And I'd love to hear from people who maybe everyone has different experiences with this. So it's not just how I perceive it, but it's how others perceive it too.
Good to see you.
And you. Until next time.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.